All right, Matthew chapter 25. And before I begin reading, I'm going to tell you a story. On my third birthday, my mom was slaving over a hot stove, and I was outside playing with my girlfriend. I even remember her name, Cindy Cartwright, cutest little brunette on the block. 3 years old, mom's in the kitchen, and all of a sudden, clear from outside, you'll know that this is the same Kevin when I tell you the story. I could smell the wonderful fragrance of cake cooking. And so Cindy and I went in to see what was taking place. And lo and behold, Mom was cooking one of the biggest cakes I've ever seen. I'm sure it was small for today's day and age, but when I was 3, this looked humongous cake. And this deep, you know, deep, really deep, really fudgy, wonderful frosting. How many like chocolate? How many are hungry for it right now? Hey, you can't leave. You can't eat yet. Okay, anyway, so this wonderful smell, this wonderful fragrance, and she's made this bowl full of deep, fudgy chocolate frosting, and we're just looking, and, you know, by this time, I'm 3. I'm like Pavlov's dog. You know, water's running down, and she says, "Would you like to lick the spoon?" "Would I?" So not only did we lick the spoon, Cindy and I ate our spoons, and it was delicious. And Mom's saying, now, Kev, your birthday, your third birthday is here. And so you just have to wait till everybody gets home and then we're going to enjoy this cake. Yeah, right. I'll wait, Mom. I'll wait. You know, come on. Don't you? I promise. So Mom leaves the room. She has much to do. And Cindy and I are looking at the cake. That frosting was mighty good, folks. Spoon was licked dry. Nothing left off that spoon. And you begin, you know, ladies, when you cook and you use the big cake thing and you frost it, there's that spillover on the edge, you know. It's not perfectly neat, is it? Ladies, come on, say something to me. It's not perfect. Guys, you know that better than they do. It's not perfectly neat, is it? I mean, it's a cake and frosting just calling out to have the edges licked, right? And so you know, I decided even as a 3-year-old, I could do a better job. And so, I tell you, I've just straightened this up a little bit. So, okay, Cindy, here we go. Oh, man. It was delicious. And then you open your eyes and you go, that's no longer even. I'm going to have to even that up. And so Cindy sticks in her fingerful. It's a big chunk. And listen, you guys, I think this was not devil's food cake. This was heavenly. I don't know. It wasn't angel's food cake either, but it was just heavenly cake and frosting. But both of us notice it's got to be straightened up. And you know, you quote to yourself with passion the first, I must wait. I must eat. And it changes right in front of your eyes. It all unfolds, and I got to straighten this up. And oh my gosh, you straighten that in. So I'm over here. This is literally what happened. No exaggeration, of course. Anyway, straighten it up. I got to get a little. All right, pretty soon, literally, chunks are flying out of the cake. Oh man, this is so good. Oh, oh. I was not passionate even as a kid, right? So just chunks going in, and then Mount St. Helens erupted for the first time in my lifetime. What are you doing? Hi, Mom. And I literally had no deniability. You know what I mean? I was wearing as much as gone into my body. What are you doing? You've destroyed your birthday cake. And all of a sudden, the pleasure of the moment fled in light of the guilt. So for my birthday dinner, Cindy, of course, was gone home by this time. It mattered not. She was the cutest little brunette on the block. And we have this burnt dinner, and Mom kind of throws on the table these bowls full of chunky what used to be cake. And with great disdain in her voice, Kevin already had his birthday cake. A lesson that I have learned has stayed with me for at least 20 minutes when I think of it to this day. But you know something? That's how we live life too often. There's pleasure in sin, the Bible says, for a season. And it looks so good, tastes so good, feels so good. Come on, church, can you be honest with me? Why else would you sin if it didn't taste, feel, look good? The Bible's honest enough. Jesus is honest enough. There's pleasure in sin for a season. Instead of waiting for the long-term gain, we oftentimes accept the short-term. And we compromise our walk, our grace, our calling for the short-term. Just like my third birthday cake. Let's go to Matthew chapter 25. The delay made me lose sight of the goal, and I got lazy. Lazy believing leads to lazy living. And before I read the scripture, I want you to know that I am convinced with all my heart that we are into extremely serious days in the body of Christ and in the world. We literally are at a crossroads. We are into 40 days of prayer, fasting in some measure, and on 7/7/07, a time that comes around on our clock this once, there will be a great convocation of prayer taking place with people gathering in Nashville and praying that God will greatly intervene, but the work to be done is now in our spirits. And I believe that the challenges and the choices we make over these next several days and weeks will affect us in the fulfillment of the calling of God on our lives. I believe we need to be aware of our times, and we are into serious days. 1 Chronicles 12:32, you don't need to turn there. I quoted it last week. 1 Chronicles 12:32 spoke of the sons of Issachar who had understanding of the times to know what Israel ought to do. The sons of Issachar, 1 Chronicles 12:32, who had understanding of the times to know what Israel ought to do. This morning's lesson is God's prophetic purpose. Be prepared. Be prepared. Bible prophecy, and I will still get to Matthew 25. There's our key text there. But Bible prophecy is unfolding. But Bible prophecy is determined and intended to have an impact on how we live in the present. And I'm going to say a very strong statement to you. The purpose and intent of the Scripture is to make us wise unto salvation, it says in the Scriptures, and to train us in holy living. The purpose of even the prophetic Scripture is to deal with your heart and mind so we are right with God and we prepare ourselves. The problem with the prophetic is that some people choose instead to look to details, time frames, timelines, maps, and determine hard and fast, this is what that means. And yet, how many know there have been a multitude who have declared timelines over the generations who have had to throw their charts away? The issue is interesting in charts, but imperative in terms of heart. Interesting charts, imperative hearts. And as we look this morning at the Scripture and the prophetic direction over these next many weeks, the issue isn't setting a timeline. The issue is living as if the timeline were going to unfold this very moment today. Some people say, and start to live lazy because they say, don't you know they've been saying in every generation Jesus is returning? How many remember 30, 40 years ago, the early charismatic movement, Jesus is coming soon. That's right. Remember? Jesus is coming back. Man, Jesus is coming soon. 10 years later, Jesus is coming soon. 20 years later, I thought Jesus was coming soon. In every generation, the call goes out. And I'm going to talk about it this morning in light of our scriptures. In every generation, the call goes out. And the truth is, how many understand the truth is? Jesus is coming soon.
Amen.
And we live so often lazy like He's not. And we need to understand the truth of prophetic purpose is that we live with understanding that He is. When Peter spoke of the fact that the present universe will one day dissolve in the light of fervent heat, notice what he said. He didn't set a timetable in the year 75 AD after Titus has destroyed the temple in 70 AD. This will happen. The main question Peter asked in 1 Peter or 2 Peter 3 verse 11 was this. Seeing then that all things shall be dissolved, what manner of persons ought ye to be? Did you hear that? It's all going to dissolve. It's going to burn up in fervent heat, and people spend their time talking about nuclear holocaust, which probably will happen sometime in the future. And it may indeed unfold that way. But the point of Peter was, so therefore, since it's going to happen, what kind of people do you need to be before God? When John spoke of Jesus' return, it wasn't to locate it in the midst or at the end of Daniel's 70th week in the Scripture. But to help us realize, as he says in the Scripture, when he shall appear, we shall be what, church? Like him. So when we come to a study of the future in any part of the Bible, it's interesting to set a timeline. It's imperative to set our hearts. Discern the major emphasis of the passage. Keep God's prophetic purpose first. How many can say amen?
Amen?
People who declare to you they fully understand everything that's going to unfold, and that they declare to you this is that, this is what's going to happen, oftentimes find themselves disappointed. I prefer in terms of, looks like that's going to happen. May indeed. Get your heart right. That's the best kind of preaching. In fact, folks, that's the best kind of preaching in some fashion, but as a pastor, in this pulpit at Grace Christian Center, I fail you if I don't stand before you to say several things today. Number one, we are in a serious day, more serious than any day you've been alive yet to date. But I also fail you if I don't say the bottom line of all of this is, church, get your heart right, keep your heart right, keep going. Get ready, stay ready, and grow. A man of God's been preaching that to me for 40 years. His name's Pastor Carl Barden. From the time I was 18 years old, I arrived in Pullman, Washington. I heard this man of God say, you got to do something, gang. You got to get ready. You got to stay ready. And you got to grow. I'm going to say a very strong statement. There's a lot of marketing that takes place in the body of Christ. There are a lot of people who are only too happy to take your money from you. Now, I don't even stand in the pulpit here and push tithing week after week, and we don't pass a plate because our conviction is that you give as an act of conviction before the Lord. But the Bible says support your local storehouse. If you have an issue with tithing, you have an issue with God, you need to get your heart right and repent if you don't and go on with God and get right. Right? Okay, so we said it. I don't pass a plate. If you have an income literally before the Lord, God calls you to give and support your local storehouse. Enough said, that's the Bible. You can come and talk to me about it afterwards. But I'll tell you what, if you choose not to give before God, God will create avenues for you to dump your money out in a lot of different avenues. And there are people in the body of Christ who are dedicated to helping you take it. There are a lot of chart books. There are a lot of end time books. There are a lot of people who stand up and say, this is it! Now I wish my name was Jesus Jr. Then I wouldn't have to wear glasses. I'm here to tell you, we can say this is it as much as we want. But what we've got to have is right hearts. There are a lot of very famous, well-known, wonderful series of books you can buy that declare how the end shall be. I'm not so sure they're right, church. And a lot of people spend more time in them than they do in their Bible. I'm not so sure they're right, church. If they are, great. I'll fly away. If they're not, how you prepare your heart today to walk with God makes a difference in how your last days shall unfold. Boy, Kevin, you got yourself worked up. No, I think God does. And I think we need to take a look at what He says. Let's go to Matthew chapter 25, verses 1 through 13. Matthew 25, verses 1 through 13, and this is crucial to our heart preparation. The whole thing is not whether we're going to fly away, whether we're going to stay. The whole thing is how we prepare ourselves to walk with God today. Matthew 25, 1 through 13. Would you read this out loud with me, please? Then the kingdom of heaven shall be likened to 10 virgins. Stop. I'd like to ask you a question. How many were there? And what were they? How many of them were virgins? Well, now that's interesting, isn't it? All of them were clean, under the righteousness, spiritually if you want to, under the righteousness of Jesus Christ. All of them. They were virgins. In this day and age, how many, you don't have to make any honest confession here in front of anybody, but how many understand that's a challenge for people to stay virgins nowadays outside of marriage? That's hard! How many understand that? Come on, say amen. I'm not, you know, Jesus Christ can cleanse you even if you weren't a virgin when you went into marriage. That's, you know, we live in today's society. But folks, this was a crucial thing in that society. And this virgin, the word virgin means a set apart one preparing herself for a bridegroom. There were 10 of them. Who took their what? Took their lamps. Now each of them had a what? How many had lamps? Only 5 of them, right? That's kind of interesting. So 10 of them had what? And 10 of them were? You're doing really well. It's kind of fun, isn't it? And they went out to meet the bridegroom. How many went out to meet the bridegroom? Are you sure? You could prophesy that to me this morning. Don't lose your confidence. You're right. It's all of them, okay? All of them. Now, 5 of them were? Okay, but we'll first say 5 of them were wise. And 5 were, what you want to say, foolish. 5 were foolish. Now, when we get to the definition of foolish, let's just cut to the chase. You know what the definition of foolish is? It means literally to be a moral blockhead. That's what it means. Look it up in Strong's Concordance, morally blockhead. Absurd. Now, why would God use such a strong word? Because, let's take a look in verse 3, read it with me. Those who were foolish took their lamps. What'd they do? They got up and they put effort into it. Took their lamps and took no oil with them. But the wise, verse 4, took oil in their vessels with their lamps. Verse 5, please read it with me. But while the bridegroom was delayed, they... How many? 5. Just 5 foolish ones. They all slumbered and slept. Church, even those who are wise before the Lord doing their best to walk with God, sometimes the delay gets a little long. Sometimes you reach your hand into the cake and you smear it all over you and you lose deniability. All you can say is, I'm guilty, Lord, I reached into the cake. Sometimes we sleep and we slumber because it doesn't look like it's going to happen right away. Right? Okay. So Jesus is coming, Jesus is coming, Jesus, God, I heard it before. While the bridegroom was delayed, they all slumbered and slept. And at midnight, a cry was heard. Behold, the bridegroom is coming. Go out to meet him. Verse 7, please read it with me. Then, I'm sorry, I know I'm interrupting you. I asked you to read it, I interrupted. Then, let's say that one more time. Then all those virgins arose. Now, just a minute. Every one of them got up. Every one of them had a lamp. Every one of them put some effort into this thing. And what did they do? They trimmed their lamps. They knew what to do to make the lamp shine bright. And the foolish said to the wise, "Give us some of your oil, for our lamps are going out." But the wise answered, saying, "No, lest there should not be enough for us and you. But go rather to those who sell and buy for yourselves." Verse 10, "And while they went to buy, the bridegroom came, and those who were ready went in with him to the wedding, and the door was..." Whoa! Anybody see along with me that's a little alarming? Afterwards, the other virgins came also saying, "Lord, Lord, open to us." Now read verse 12 out loud with me. "But he answered and said, 'Assuredly, I say to you, I do not know you.'" Church, it doesn't matter whether your issue that you're wrestling with God about is some sort of hidden secrecy, some sort of sin that no one knows about, whether it's pornography online or stealing in some fashion or tithing or backbiting or gossip. It doesn't matter what the issue is. It is time to get the heart right with God. If you know there are issues in your life before God that are sin, repent this morning and get right with God. Get prepared. Because at midnight, at the time when you're least expecting it, you're slumbering, you're sleeping, you've gone to sleep on the thing, the cry of God comes and you say, "Are you ready to meet God face to face?" And you can look at me all you want this morning and say, "Get off it, Pastor Kevin." And I look at you and I say before God, it is my job, my responsibility, my calling to do everything I can to help you and me, both and all of us, be right and ready before God. Yeah. I don't want to go home this morning saying, "Lord, you had a burden and I mealy-mouthed it away." Amen. If it were my last Sunday on earth to say something to you, and God took my life from me today, I would pray that you would be able to stand before God and say, "He did what He could to tell us some truth." Amen. Church, I cannot babysit. I must, with myself and you, call us on to what is God's next step for us. And God's got a plan. God, unfold your plan. I want to be a part of your plan. I want us as a church to be a part of your plan. The Apostle Paul says, "I would that you could eat the meat I have to teach you, but I have to give you the milk again." That's not God's intended purpose. What is God's prophetic purpose? I happen to think that this set of Scripture is immensely eye-opening. Now, would you please read the last verse of this section in verse 13? That's where we'll conclude out loud with me. "Watch, therefore, for you know neither the day nor the hour in which the Son of Man is coming." Now, the context of this set of Scripture is Matthew 24 and Matthew 25. The context, church, is where Jesus has been telling His disciples, honestly, "I'm getting ready to go." And recall, He points to the temple and to the temple buildings and said, "There is not one stone left upon another that shall not be thrown down." Now, please remember that His disciples had an Old Testament frame of reference. Jesus was doing something new. Just like in our day, Jesus is doing something, right? So we want to be quickened and alive. Lord, let us hear. But His disciples, how many understand? They were confused. Do you think if you were walking with Jesus and He said, kept saying things like, "Now Moses says to you, but I say," would it confuse you a little? "Now this is what they used to do, but they're a bunch of hypocrites. Here's what I say unto you." Man, don't you think you'd stop and go, "Boy, I hope he's right." And I wonder what he's doing. Their Old Testament frame of reference understood forever and generations prophetically the Bible said, and they prophesied, the kingdom of God is coming. And so they began to ask Jesus questions in Matthew 24 and 25. Lord, what about the kingdom of God? When is this going to happen? What are the signs that this shall happen? How does this happen? What's going to unfold? And Jesus began to answer those issues. And this set of scripture is one of those answers. Here's heart talk. Here's preparation talk. You want to get ready? The kingdom of God, don't be discouraged. The kingdom of God will still come, but it will come to those who are prepared. Say amen. Okay. That's what this is about. Watch therefore. So, the kingdom's coming. God's prophetic purpose. Let's take a look. All were virgins, not tied up in mixture. Not tied up. They were keeping themselves pure and prepared. Not lusting after the ways of the world. Preparing themselves. The foolish were virgins. They just got lazy in their preparation. They didn't take the oil. Each of us has been a recipient of the grace of God. We are called the bride of Christ, blameless, pure, spotless by the blood of the Lamb, justified just as if I'd never sinned. In the Palestinian day and in the day of this scripture, it was a nightmare to be a bridesmaid and to miss the bride and groom's party. It was a nightmare because you prepared yourself and you were there to support them fully. But church, 50% of this group didn't make it. Wow. Matthew 24, verse 13. If you're taking notes, write that one down. Matthew 24, verse 13. He who endures to the end shall be saved. By grace he is saved. I know. But he who cooperates and endures with God to the end shall be saved. Now, on the wedding day, the bridegroom went to the bride's house for the ceremony. Then the bride and groom, along with a great procession, returned to the groom's house, where a big feast took place, lasting a full week many times. And these 10 virgins were waiting to join in the procession, and they hoped to take part in the wedding banquet. Church, in the same way, when Jesus, the bridegroom, returns, we must be ready to banquet with Him. Spiritual preparation cannot be bought or borrowed at the last minute. What am I saying? For 5.5 years, we have said, let's all read the Word. And you're all doing it. Isn't it good? How many enjoy the Bible? It's good stuff. But you know what? I can't read the Bible for Royal. I can read the Bible out loud to you, but I can't read it for him. You know, I can't read it for him. How many understand I can pray for Elaine, but I can't do Elaine's praying for Elaine? You see what I'm saying? You want the Spirit? You've got to be under the spout where the glory comes out. Welcome back to 1960s, eh? See, but the Spirit of God falls upon His people. And listen, all of us are here because the Spirit of God has moved on our life. You wouldn't be a Christian if you didn't have the Holy Spirit in your life. But there's a difference between Jesus breathing on His 70 when He went out and the day of Pentecost when the Spirit of God came out like a rushing mighty wind. It's simply a mount. How many understand the baptism of the Holy Spirit is available today? Miracles, the gift of speaking in tongues. Miracle for daughter Hillary. Praise God! I'd say amen. That's something to shout about. Amen? Woo! God's alive and well. Now, we don't kibosh anybody for not speaking in tongues. We give an invitation. Hey, there's more for you if that's not available. You say, I tried that once. Okay, well, keep trying and we'll keep trying with you. Praise God. God will meet you. You know, obviously you can look at me and it wouldn't do if I looked at you and said, well, I tried eating once and it didn't take. Kevin, you kept on practicing, didn't you? Yeah, I did. Especially chocolate cake. Yeah. This is all available. But each of us is responsible to be ready. The virgins found themselves slumbering when the call came. 2 Peter 3, verse 14 says, therefore, beloved, looking forward to these things,
Be diligent to be found by him in peace, without spot and blameless.
Without spot and blameless. What's that mean? Get all the iron, all the spots and cleaned out and the wrinkles ironed out so we're pure and ready to go. How many ever went to a tolo, a dance, or a prom when you were in school? How many went? Okay. Did you wear the most wrinkly thing in your closet? Or in that day, did you iron and iron and iron and iron? Or rent, guys. Yeah. We don't put on our worst for the king when he comes, but our best. Jesus is coming, and he's going to ask each and every single one of us sitting in this room to give an account for our life. Each one of us will face Jesus Christ. Maybe some today, some next week, maybe soon for all of us. But I have to ask you, if your time today is up, are you ready to meet Jesus Christ face to face? All had lamps. All made effort to get with the groom. It took effort. It took work. They took their lamps. They went forth. Now, the weddings, let's just talk a little bit more about these weddings, and I won't belabor this point, but weddings were held toward the evenings, and torches generally were used as part of the celebration. So these weren't these little handheld lamps that we sing about with a little oil, but they're torches. And they indeed may have been sticks wrapped with cloths, soaked with oil, oil-soaked rags, and big torches. And in many Palestinian villages, in more recent times still, the wedding feast occurs at night after an entire day of dancing. And the bridesmaid leave the bride with whom they've been staying. They go out to meet the bridegroom with torches. It's still how it happens. Then they escort the bridegroom back to his bride. They all in turn escort them to the groom's home. Now, torches like that could not burn indefinitely. Evidence, in fact, suggests that they may have burned for only 15 minutes before the burnt rags would have to be removed and new oil-soaked rags would need to be wrapped on the sticks of which they were made. Hang in there. Either way, if they lasted a long time or even if they didn't, oftentimes the bridegroom was delayed in coming. So what they would do many times they would announce, "The bridegroom cometh!" Just like over the generations you have heard the word go out, "Jesus is coming soon!" So the people who are carrying the torches get themselves, keep themselves, and stay ready. We think from the 60s, we've heard it before, it ain't happening. And so consequently, some live lazy, lack of preparation lives. Instead, it goes out in every generation, "Jesus is coming soon, get yourself ready." And church, I sincerely believe Jesus is coming soon. Closer than ever. I urge, exhort, get your torches burning. Keep your torches burning. Stay ready. And grow with more torches. Now, what's the point of all this? If the bridegroom delayed longer than necessary, the attendants had to have an extra reserve of oil. Keep a fresh supply of oil. All of them had lamps. Only half were prepared. All of them knew how to trim their lamps. Only half had the oil to keep them burning. All of them knew how to make the lamp work best. Only five had the supply to make it work. That's why we keep exhorting,
Get your foundations right in the Lord. Get in the Word. Stay in the Word. Be in prayer. Be alive in the Spirit. Repent if you need to. Quit wrestling over some issues you've been wrestling with for a long time. Keep growing in Jesus. Stay in right relationship with one another. Get ready. Be fully ready. Be prepared. Keep the oil flowing. Keep the lamps burning. Give me oil in my lamp. Keep me burning, burning, burning. Give me oil in my lamp today. Sing Hosanna to the Lord. Will you really fall in love with Jesus and persevere to the end? Matthew 24, verse 6. You will hear of wars and rumors of wars. See to it that you're not troubled, for all these things must come to pass, but the end is not yet. Matthew 24, verse 13. But he who endures to the what?
Yes.
Shall be saved. Only half chose wisdom and preparation. The word wise is phronimos. Phronimos means they were thoughtful, discreet, had the character. The foolish, literally, again, dull, stupid, moral blockheads and absurd. How many want to be a moral blockhead? How many rather be full of life and wise? Folks, you can look like a Christian, attend church like a Christian. You can even sometimes pray and sing like a Christian. But do you have the anointing oil? Oil in Scripture, the Holy Spirit. All of us need the fresh oil of God. Is your lamp burning? Are you full? I've been to Israel to see the ancient olive press, a huge, massive, rounded stone that goes around and around in a circular pit that's carved out of stone. And the olives would be in there, and this huge stone would roll around. And it would squeeze the olives and squeeze the olives, and out over in this part, this spout would be out of the stonework, and oil would begin to flow. How many of you understand that oftentimes, if you really want the anointing of God, it comes as a product of allowing Him to put that squeeze on your life where you allow Him to grind away the impurities. You allow Him to deal with you and you feel the pressure, but you fall to your knees and you surrender and say, Jesus, I don't know what it's going to take to get my heart and keep my heart right with You, but all I know is I want You, Jesus. I repent of this thing that turns me aside. Lord God, squeeze me if You need to, but make me more like You, Lord, and don't give up on me. Fill my oil vessel full to overflowing. I want life to give away. I want to be in close proximity. I want to come and understand Your righteousness is my righteousness. And Jesus, let the freshness of Your anointing be on my life. If you respond right to God during the dealings, you'll get better, not bitter, and you can tell the people that have. Can't you? Walk up to them and you say, well, you know, tell me about what happened in your life. And instead of bitter rancor, out comes the sweetness of the lesson learned in Jesus and the fragrance of an anointing that burns your light a little brighter. And you walk away thinking, I'll keep praying for that person. Oh, how I wish I could be as sweet as they are. I want to grow in Jesus like they do. Be prepared. Allow the preparation work to take place in our life. God's prophetic purpose. If it ends today, church, are you ready to see Jesus? They all slumbered. They all slept. We sang without a progressive vision, the people perish. Proverbs 29, verse 18, straight from Scripture. Without a progressive vision, they dwell carelessly. Then the midnight cry comes. Unexpected times. Are you ready for the cry? There comes a point where Jesus shuts the door. And you go, oh, wait a minute. That's not God. Well, I didn't write those scriptures. He did. All I can tell you is, I don't ever want to test this. Do you? Church, if I can help you as a pastor, I don't ever want you to ever end up testing this, and me neither. Matthew 25, 10 through 12, reading it again. While they went to buy, the bridegroom came, and those who were ready went with him to the wedding, and the door was shut. Afterwards, the other virgins came also, saying, Lord, Lord, open to us! But he answered and said, assuredly, I say to you, I do not know you. Church, Jesus separates the wheat from the tares. We all know the Scripture talks about this. The tares grow together in the fields. Now, do you know what a tare is? It looks just like wheat, but it's an empty-headed stalk. A moral blockhead. But if you try to remove them too early, you cut down good wheat going for the tares. Jesus said, let them grow together. And at the end, he makes a separation, and they are burned. Lord, let me be full of wheat, full of oil, full of life, and ready. Let me not be separated out by my wrong choices and by lazy living. Church, don't you want to be ready? Whatever Jesus does. Let's hear the end of the matter. Matthew 25, verse 13 again. Watch, therefore, for you know neither the day nor the hour in which the Son of Man is coming. Watch is the Greek word gregoruo. Say gregoruo. Gregoruo. And it literally means to keep awake, to be vigilant, to watch. Gregoruo. You never know exactly when this is going to take place. But what is God's prophetic purpose? I want you to turn to each other and say, what is God's prophetic purpose? At the very least this morning, it is that we get prepared, that we stay prepared, and that we keep growing. Get ready, stay ready, and grow. Now the Bible says, you'll hear wars and rumors of wars, and it will increase. You'll hear of earthquakes, you'll hear of famines, and it will increase. We need to know the times in which we live. We are hearing those stories day in and day out. We need to be ready to walk with Him through the midst of those storms. And all the church said, Amen. Next week, we're going to talk about God's prophetic purpose, part 3. And I'm going to tell you right now what my message is going to be about. There are a lot of people who spend a lot of fascination with the beast and the mark of the beast. I want to tell you that there's a lot more important mark that you and I need to be concerned about, and it's the mark of God. And next week, we're going to talk about having the mark of God. Let's stand. Are you ready, church?
Yes.
If you're here this morning, and I know this has been a strong word. Those of you who know me personally know that I'm a loving guy who loves chocolate cake. But I stand before you knowing that though I would rather preach light fluff, and something you all leave saying, well, didn't bother me this morning. I can't get away from what I feel God is saying right now, and I have to be responsible and get to thee as your pastor. Church, these are days in which I don't want to fall asleep. Oh God, fulfill your will. Oh God, make us what you want us to be. Oh God, help us be ready. These aren't tickle your ear messages. These are heart cry days. Lord, help us be what you want us to be. Lord, we'll watch and we'll pray and we'll be ready therefore. Lord, fill us up again with oil that overflows, and we repent of anything that we stupidly choose to turn aside, like that attracts us like chocolate cake and fudgy frosting. Oh Lord, Jesus, we want to be just like you. Now we thank you, because where you bring opportunity for conviction, you bring opportunity for response. We still have opportunity to respond and say yes to Jesus. We say yes, Lord. Can you just say yes to Jesus this morning?
Yes, Lord, I respond. Say that with me. Yes, Lord, I respond. Say, yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. I will be ready. I will. Prepare me. We repent of anything that easily distracts. And by grace and by faith, we now receive your forgiveness. Lord, we receive the prophetic word that came this morning. We're going to be right there, entwined with you in close proximity, full of the Spirit, giving life away to those that need you. Wrapped our arms around your legs, receiving, being enveloped in your righteousness. Oh, Jesus, we love and adore you. And all the people said,